Radio Prague News. Senators for the Social Democratic Party have urged the government to retract the country's demand for an opt-out from the Lisbon Treaty. Petr Bendl of the Civic Democrats has been appointed Agriculture Minister, and the government's offer of state bonds enabling citizens to invest in the national debt has proved hugely successful. Senators for the Social Democratic Party have urged the government to retract the country's demand for an opt-out from the Lisbon Treaty, tabled at the insistence of the Czech president. In 2009, President Václav Klaus only signed the Lisbon Treaty after the EU agreed to his demand for a Czech opt-out from the EU's Charter of Fundamental Rights, which is part of the treaty. The Czech president feared it could open the way for restitution claims by Sudeten Germans expelled from Czechoslovakia after the war. Social Democrat senators who have a majority in the upper chamber say that, on the contrary, an opt-out would lower the degree of protection afforded to Czech citizens in the sphere of human rights. President Václav Klaus on Thursday appointed Petr Bendl of the Civic Democratic Party the country's new agriculture minister. Mr. Bendl, a close political ally of Prime Minister Petr Nečas, served as transport minister in 2009 in the government of Mirek Topolánek. The Prime Minister dismissed fellow Civic Democrat Ivan Fuksa on Tuesday, saying he had long been dissatisfied with his performance. Most commentators believe, though, that his sacking is related to infighting within the Civic Democratic Party. The Czech Finance Ministry has brought forward a deadline for ordering state bonds from the original November 1st to Friday, October 7th. The scheme has proved so successful that the set 10 billion crown target has already been exhausted, with the ministry now registering orders to the tune of 14.1 billion crowns. Next year, the ministry plans to issue bonds to the tune of 40 billion. The current debt crisis in the Eurozone could easily evolve into an economic crisis that would spill over to member states outside the Eurozone, such as the Czech Republic. Czech Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said in an address to the Jofin Economic Forum on Thursday. The finance minister said the risk of this happening was considerable and predicted that such a development would have serious budgetary and social impacts. Mr. Kalousek said it was now up to the Eurozone to find a radical solution or face a system failure. The Czech finance minister was recently named Finance Minister of the Year for Emerging Europe 2011 by the Washington-based Emerging Markets magazine. The award was a tribute to Mr. Kalousek's commitment to consolidating public finances amidst a worsening global outlook. Security has been tightened around the Bory jailhouse in West Bohemia after two men rammed their car through the gates on Wednesday night. The gatekeepers on duty raised the alarm on hearing the first impact, and by the time the men had forcibly entered the premises, they were surrounded by armed guards and captured. In view of an ongoing investigation, the police has not released any details. According to the tabloid Daily Blesk, one of the suspects has a son in the jailhouse whom they were trying to help escape. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should bring significantly colder weather with rain showers and daytime temperatures between 8 and 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. In today's program, Civic Democrat Petr Bendl has become the new agriculture minister. We look at the new face in the Czech government. A new documentary looks at the life of Czech-born actor Jiří Voskovec in the United States. And in Panorama today, Czechs raise their voices for fair trade. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. The post of Agriculture Minister was filled this week as abruptly as it was vacated, with Thursday's appointment of Civic Democrat Petr Bendl. A close ally of the Prime Minister, Mr. Bendl is an experienced hand in regional and ministerial leadership, but his ties to agriculture are non-existent. Christian Falvi has more on the new face in the cabinet.
Petr Bendl has been in politics since he was in his late 20s, when he became mayor of the town of Kladno near Prague. Since then, he has hardly been without a public position, having been elected to parliament in 1998 and to the governorship of central Bohemia in 2000. When he lost that office to Social Democrat David Rath in 2008, he was speedily taken in to the cabinet of Mirek Topolánek, where he served as a transport minister until the fall of that government, and he has been an MP again since last year. He is a deputy chairman of the Civic Democratic Party and indeed has a rich curriculum vitae for high-ranking political positions. But his ties to agriculture are razor thin, a point I discussed with political analyst Petr Just.
It's obvious that Petr Bendl was in the first place a political choice because he's considered to be one of Mr. Nečas's allies in the Central Bohemian Party faction. And this party faction is one of the strongest within the Civic Democratic Party. And also it's obvious that Petr Nečas made this change especially affected by the upcoming national convention, and he wants to strengthen his position in before the convention actually opens. It's true that Mr. Bendl has actually no previous background in agriculture. On the other hand, Mr. Fuchs also didn't have any previous background in agriculture, and he turned to be quite successful, at least as people from the agriculture sector say. So there's definitely no reason to be worried on one side. On the other side, the fact that Mr. Bendl was appointed more based on a political issue than the expert issue is something that Mr. Nečas will have to face and will be challenged by his opponents.
Well, in political terms, do you think that the appointment of Mr. Bendl will have the political impact that the PM actually intends?
I'm not sure. Sometimes the Prime Minister, when making this change, expects some benefits, either intra-party benefits or benefits like a general in public. As we know, the National Convention of ODS that's going to be held this autumn will not be a convention where a new leadership will be elected. ODS decided to elect its new leadership after the regional elections next year. So actually there's not going to be any changes in personal composition of the ODS leadership. So I'm not quite sure what is actually Mr. Nečas's intention. I would understand making these changes in the time when you need to build some loyal groups that will back you during the election of the leadership. But in this case, where we see that the ODS will not elect its new leadership this year, but next year, I don't understand much the step he did.
While the Prime Minister's position is technically safe this year, the regional chapter of the Civic Democratic Party in central Bohemia was the only one to state publicly it does not support his continued mandate as party chairman.
Christian Falvi with that report. A new documentary that will premiere in Czech cinemas next week depicts the lesser-known part of the life of the Czech-born actor Jiří, or George, Voskovec in the United States. In his homeland, he's best known as the co-founder and co-star of Prague's pre-war avant-garde theatre troupe, the Liberated Theatre. Having spent the World War II years in exile in New York, Jiří Voskovec again moved to the United States after the 1948 communist takeover of Czechoslovakia. The new film, entitled My Father George Voskovec, follows his daughter Gigi retracing her father's life from difficult beginnings through his career on Broadway and in Hollywood to his passing away in 1981 at the age of 76. Jan Richter saw the documentary and spoke to its director, Libuše Rudinská.
The name appeared because we met George Voskovec's daughter, Gigi, who, how we found, was very involved in the filming, so we decided her to use as the most important person of the film. So that's why, because she's telling the story of her father and she's following his steps.
In your film, you show clips from many movies he made in the United States and in which appeared alongside many famous actors. Would you say he was a successful actor in the United States?
He called himself half a star. Unfortunately, his time is gone for Americans because not many people remember him, even though he had some fame in that time when he lived, because he did a lot of television, so people remember him. Gigi told me that, for example, some people asked her, and he was stopped, for example, on crossroad by policemen, and they wanted to get signature from him. So he was kind of star, I would say, but I think it's the very exact expression, half star.
A big question in the movie that many people talk about is whether Jiří Boskovec was happy in the United States. What is your impression on that?
In the beginning, I thought he was very unhappy and very miserable man. But after 2 years following his faith, I realized that he wasn't that his life wasn't that easy, that he could say happy or unhappy, because it was very colorful. He, of course, the beginning, the start of his life in the United States was very challenging because he had to deal with many troubles, like spending 11 months in detention, death of his wife, being single father, spending a lot of money for treating her wife in the hospital. So I believe he was very sad in that time, yeah, and he was sad because he missed and lost his country. But generally, he was fighter, and he didn't give up. He had very positive mind. He was very positive looking person and positive thinking person, and I think he enjoyed life and people.
Do you think he ever considered coming back to Czechoslovakia?
Never. He never thought about going back because he knew that he would not be able to continue. He knew that already in 1946 when they continued with Jan, when they met again after emigration, and he gave up after 1 year. He went to work for UNESCO to France, and he decided he wanted to live a completely different life.
Do you think Czechs in general don't know very much about Jiří Boskovec's life in the United States?
Yeah, I would say that people don't know much because after he emigrated, after 1948, there was kind of silence about him because during the communism, there was forbidden to talk about him as if he didn't exist. And, for example, there were some gossips, like, for example, he said that he got married very, very successfully and he doesn't know Verich anymore and things like this. So people try to make people forget about him.
Documentary filmmaker Libuše Rudinská, and she was talking there to Jan Richter. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now Daniela Lazarová is here with a fresh edition of Panorama. Have a listen to this. A booth on Prague's Jungmann Square is making people stop and stare. Individuals walk inside, close the door and yell at the top of their lungs to come out smiling moments later as someone else takes their place. What you hear there is not a frustrated employee letting off steam after a bad day at work. It's a voice raised in support of fair trade and making companies observe human rights and give people decent work conditions in countries where it is easy to abuse them. The Czech NGO Nazemi has launched a campaign to raise awareness of how many people in the developing world work in shocking conditions for large multinational companies and to try to put a stop to the practice. Anna Lazarová from Nazemi is one of the organizers.
It's a campaign that is called We Have a Voice, and it's supposed to demonstrate for the multinational corporations that consumers have a voice and they want them to produce in fair conditions and to be responsible for the products and for the supply chain. Basically what we do, we collect voices of consumers that can go to the box and scream, and we take their photo and also their voice, and then we add it to the website when there's the whole photo petition, and we will represent it to companies on the Day for Human Rights on 10th of December.
Do you think that Czech people care about this? Do you think that people and consumers in this country, do they just look at the price or do they really care how a product was made?
Well, basically that's the whole argument that companies tell us, that the consumers don't care. But, well, in reality, when we meet people and they want to discuss, they are eager to, for their products to be produced in fair conditions, and they want to support such campaigns.
What kind of people come here? You've been here for a day and a half almost. What kind of people come to make their voice heard?
Well, basically what is surprising, of course there are young people that want to present their voice, but also there are older people that do care and they still have the previous periods of Czech Republic in mind, and they still have the memory of us being the factory and the factory land. So they also want to show their solidarity for people in developing countries.
How many voices have you got so far?
So far it's around 1,400 people.
You have conducted a study, have you not, regarding how certain products are made. Can you tell me what the outcome of that study was?
Yes, there were several studies. The latest one was from the outdoor clothes sector, and it was a study from Vietnam and China. We interviewed workers in these factories that produce for really well-known brands that you can buy in every store that sells sports goods. And the outcome was really, I would say, disturbing, because in Vietnam, workers work up to 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, for less than 4 Czech crowns an hour. So it's very little. And also there are problems like sexual abuse and discrimination, withholding of pay, and other problems that are also very serious. And so we are taking these facts and we want to address companies with it, but they just say that consumers don't care, and that's why we do this kind of actions.
Can you tell me what are some of the most shocking examples of abuse that you have come across? And you know, have you seen them in person somewhere, or is it just data collected?
Well, the most shocking is probably child work and abuse of child work. For example, we stumbled upon workers that are 11 years old in India. And they are also employed in a scheme that is called Sumangali scheme, and this scheme promises them a benefit after 3 years contract, but in fact, in reality, it's just their withhold payment. So they just take some part of their pay and their wage, and they just give it to them after 3 years, so that's like a huge cheat, probably. And there are also other shocking things, like there are really severe injuries in the process, because it's always work with machinery, with scissors that are sharp. There are lots of people in one place. Usually, for example, in Bangladesh, when there are lots of people in one room without climatization, and it's very humid and warm, and they are working overtime, so they are very tired, so they have a lot of injuries. And there are also very common is also sexual abuse, even raping. For example, now we have a case in Jordan that involves raping, and it's more like systematic abuse of women in textile production, because women are more vulnerable and they are prevalent workers force. Other serious things are, for example, fires in factories. For example, in last 6 years, only in Bangladesh, in factories, there were 500 people dead in factories fires. And that's just due unsafe work environment.
How many of these goods actually end up in Czech stores here in the Czech Republic or Europe? Do you know?
We don't have how much. We just know for which brands they produce. And therefore, we know that these brands are sold all over Czech Republic.
The thing is, can you find out?
It's hard, because sometimes you have these little writings on clothes or on toys that says about the country of production. But, for example, for clothes, it's not legally enforceable, so they don't have to have this writing where it was outsourced from, where does it come from. So it's very hard to find out. So what we do is that we try to really go for the brand, because also they are a multinational brand, so they produce in several countries. So we work in coalitions with other organizations in all over the Europe, and together we have more contacts also in developing countries, so we can address more workers to find out if this brand produces in this factory or in which country even. So that's how we work.
So this is an international campaign. Are there people shouting all over Europe, for instance, or the world? Or
No. What I meant is that we as an organization work in several coalitions. For example, we work strongly with Clean Clothes campaign that is also in Germany and Netherlands, Austria, Switzerland, and all over the Europe, or with other coalitions. Usually they are sectoral. For example, Clean Clothes campaign is for the clothes, but there are also campaigns for fair banana productions or for fair toys production. But this particular campaign is not part of the coalition in Europe, so we are screening just in Czech Republic.
Well, will our voice be strong enough to be heard if it's just the Czech Republic, if it's not on a broader scale?
Well, we believe it will, because we believe that companies cannot ignore any of their consumers and their customers, not to say that they cannot ignore thousands of such consumers.
And do you know about campaigns in other countries of Europe where basically they do the same thing and put pressure on these big companies as well?
Of course, you can find such organizations and campaigns almost in every country in Western Europe. We are working with organizations from Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, UK, France, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland, Austria, but also Slovakia, Poland, and Hungary. So I think it's very good cooperation, and there are many organizations working on these issues.
And that edition of Panorama was written and presented by Daniela Lazarová. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Sound Czech, our Czech language program, brought to you today by Jan Richter.
Já mozem tlu, z kůže mi cítit sůl, slíbeným návratům já odklad dávám.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of Sound Czech, our program in which you can learn some interesting and perhaps useful Czech phrases while listening to music. Today's song is Já mořem plul, or I Sailed the Sea, by Czech singer Pavel Bobek. It appeared on his 2000 album Jsem pouhý známý, or I'm Just an Acquaintance. The phrase to listen for is Ochlup, or By a Hair's Breadth.
Já dceru měl, ta mě chtěla k sobě vzít. Já s ní pět dnů byl, ani ochlup díl, v kleci já jsem nemohl žít.
In this song, the actual phrase says ani ochlup díl, which literally means not by a hair's breadth longer. In proper Czech, however, it should really say déle. The expression is used in very much the same way it is in English, perhaps even more frequently. People would typically say to bylo ochlup, that was close, or ochlup víc, just a little more. Have another listen.
Já s ní pět dnů byl, ani ochlup díl, v kleci já jsem nemohl žít. Tak já jí plách, z toho řádu měl jsem strach.
The song Já mořem plul is in fact a cover of a 1935 tune called Brevet från Lillan by the legendary Swedish folk singer Evert Taube. While the original song is based on a letter by Taube's daughter Lillan to her father asking him to come back from his journeys, the Czech cover version tells a story of an old sailor who cannot stand not being at sea. He went to live with his daughter but only stayed for 5 days, not longer than that. Ani ochlup díl.
Já dceru měl, ta mě chtěla k sobě vzít. Já s ní pět dnů byl, ani ochlup díl, v kleci já jsem nemohl žít. Tak já jí...
The Czech language has of course other ways of getting across the same meaning. Most commonly, you would say o trochu, a little, as in o trochu víc, a little more. People also say o něco, but there is a very similar expression or false, which has the same meaning but is difficult to translate, as the word false means a single beard hair.
Я сипет губил, а не хлубил, клетиасом не мужит.
The word хлуп, a hair, is used in other Czech sayings as well. For instance, sežral to I s chlupama, he ate it hairs and all, means someone swallowed it hook, line and sinker. An old Czech proverb says, Vem chlup na dlaní, když tam není. Try getting a hair off your palm when there is none. This is used to express that if something isn't there, you just can't have it. And interestingly, the word chlupatej, hairy, was pre-war slang for a policeman.
Já dceru měl, ta mě chtěla k sobě vzít. Já si pět hubil, ani o chlubil, v kleci já jsem nemohl žít. Tak já jí plách, z toho řádu měl jsem strach. Je mý neštěstí, žiju pro cesty, musím dýchat hvězdnej prach. Já mu zemklu, z kůže je mi cítit sůl, slíbený návratů.
That was Jan Richter with Sound Check wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program is also available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post Vinohradská 12-12099 Prague 2. But for now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.